To the Batmobile.
Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Good morning, Soph.
You are in the studio.
In the studio. It's really nice. And it's going to happen so much more often.
Oh, it's so good to have you here.
I've been so far away and I will not be far away anymore. It's going to be awesome.
Well, thank God for Skype when you are away at home on the coast
while we're
in the heart of Sydney.
Yeah, Skype is good. Skype is good. So, but now here in person, which is really nice.
Unfortunately, it's kind of an interesting time right now in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which we talk about a lot, I suppose, with all the blockbusters that we do like to chat about here. But some really bad news are all these sexual assault.
Yeah, like it sort of started. We didn't really cover it on Gaggle, but it's kind of because it was everywhere. Harvey Weinstein revelations have completely and utterly rocked Hollywood in a way that's kind of right now feels like if you'd said it to us a couple of months ago, you'd go, nah, that's not possible. There's no way that would ever happen. As in the reaction to it.
Yeah
the positive reaction is that Harvey Weinstein has essentially been shunned, you know, films have been cancelled. Kevin Smith is giving all of his royalties from Weinstein films to charitable causes. Ben Affleck followed suit. There's lots of people doing things like that. And lots of really brave women and people have been assaulted are coming out. And so that has triggered a whole bunch of other ones. And the first big one, which sort of kicked off this week, showed Ridley Scott, despite the fact that he's like 80 years old, to be one of the biggest gangsters ever, which is that after finding out some really horrific revelations about Kevin Spacey, a man who is populated through a lot of geek stuff. Finding out the revelations about Kevin Spacey's sexual assaults of young boys and then coming out and trying hiding it under this cloud of I'm a gay man, which is just completely nonsense.
you try to hold it in there.
I tried so bad. It's nonsense. So Ridley Scott, with a film that is targeted for award season, about John Paul Getty, a biopic based on the man that literally has marketing material with Kevin Spacey riddled through it. It is in the can. It is shot. It's done. It's out in 2 months. Has gone, nope. And they just can't. He's like, no, he's out. So Christopher Plummer, who is an absolutely sensational actor who's been in a stack of movies. You might not know his name. More recently, an Oscar winner for Beginners, which is a sensational film. But he's in literally one of my top five films all time, which is The Insider, Michael Mann's Insider. And he's just a terrific actor. He's been recast and is now reshooting the whole damn performance, including they're just going to bin all the marketing, bin everything. He's injected in it. The movie's going ahead on the release date, according to the filmmakers.
Probably one of the most expensive moves ever made.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's probably going to bring back tenfold.
Yeah. Gangster. People are going to go, and it's created the greatest set of memes I think we've ever seen. People are put Christopher Plummer in everything that Kevin Spacey was in. And then we had a really an unsurprising, but because it's the rumors have been a lot stronger and absolutely, if we're talking, it's so weird to talk about degrees of nastiness here, but some rumors about some just pretty aberrant sexual behavior from comedian and filmmaker Louis C.K., where he kind of wants, he is not necessarily physically assaulting, but sort of, I suppose, mentally and visually assaulting people, probably masturbating in front of co-stars, even if they don't want him to, etc.
Well, he's chucking a Weinstein when he did it in front of a pot plant and the girl, and you're what?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's so weird to talk about degrees in this sort of gross time. But five women came forward. New York Times journalists did a tremendous and fair job doing it. They're really doing God's work as far as I'm concerned with journalism at the moment. The Times, with both with a lot of these stories coming out, very thoroughly investigated pieces. And they credited Gawker, which actually there's a terrific documentary on Netflix about the downfall of Gawker based on a Hulk Hogan sex tape. And Gawker were these people talking about this 5 years ago. And it's really sad, and it really taints. There's a really terrific piece on Vulture, if you guys want to read, by Matt Zoller-Zeitz, about how artists are tainting their legacies and their work with this sort of really gross behavior. But yeah, it's a, I don't know, Soph, it's just a, it's kind of a time where these stories are coming out and these people are being brought into the light, and it's good, but it doesn't feel good while we're doing it.
For me, I think, like, these stories have always existed.
Yes.
Like, there's no doubt about it.
Oh, no doubt.
But I feel like in this current political climate where, you know, you have Trump in power, demeaning women, they are now, they've had enough.
Mm.
And now it's become a collective group instead of individuals. And that's the power behind it, that while we're like, no more of this shit.
Yes.
And it's interesting as before, like, say, like, a year ago when a woman came forward, they'd be like, where's the evidence? She won for the money. She's a gold digger. You saw it with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. And now it's like, oh, that's a lot of women. Shit.
Yeah. It's like, and these are the, like, so for people in the beers, like, I've heard rumors about people, about Kevin Spacey from his Superman Returns Lex Luthor performance, some pretty famous nasty stuff that was going on, some famous stuff around a certain director of the X-Men franchise who's disappeared from online and Twitter and is basically just curled up waiting for the stories to come about him.
Mm.
You know, Mr. Bryan Singer allegedly has a bunch of stories that are around him and somewhat nastier.
Well, I was surprised when they took him back on for the last one because I thought they were done with him after those last lot of allegations came through.
Yeah, so some really interesting stuff here. It's just completely unacceptable. And it is unacceptable, but I think now the environment is kind of, you know, where people are feeling powerless in other industries like politics, because it is an industry, let's face it.
It really is.
I think the movie biz and the film biz and the comedy biz and the TV biz are cleaning house.
Yep.
And once you've got these journalists who are doing extremely thorough and powerful and very very carefully and fairly investigated pieces and with very brave people coming along to give testimony, they're doing this in such a really powerful and profound way. So it's really interesting. It's kind of gross when we think about it, and some of the movies that you love and some of the performers that you love, you may not ever be able to love or watch again. It will be tainted. You know.
Oh, that's been happening for years. Hello, Woody Allen.
Hello, Woody Allen.
Roman Polanski. Bye.
Bye.
Take that out of the school curriculum, please. Whoa. But on to better news.
Yeah, let's go to cool news.
Yeah.
Okay, so guys, if you aren't a fan of Marvel Comics, you wouldn't know the name Brian Michael Bendis.
And in which case, you should go to your closest comic book store and pick up everything by Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, so if you're not a fan of Bendis, he's kind of, I think Soph calls him, what, the architect of modern Marvel, pretty much, you would say. That's fair?
I would say so, considering, like,
Civil War,
pretty much he's been writing the Avengers arcs.
Yes.
Rebooted Iron Man for a bit as well.
And he's caretaking with Riri.
Introduced Riri.
Yeah.
He's pretty much all the big stories that you were seeing translated onto, like, the screen right now in a more modern context. It's him.
Yes. And the big coup right now is that DC have taken Brian Michael Bendis into their stable. He is leaving Marvel for DC, which is, for a DC fan, is super exciting. It's like, oh my God, finally, there might be some really canonical crossover stories. I mean, like, Geoff Johns has absolutely been an architect there with the Green Lantern stories, but there's that equivalency in Bendis as far as his power, these huge storylines that have drawn fans in. Didn't have as great a reception on Civil War 2, and I think that's probably largely due to expectations as much as anything else.
But if you want some of his good stuff, his Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah, Spider-Man's great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, so, like, again, another great voice in the DC stable. And in DC, unlike in Marvel, there is a real connection between comic and filmmaking because there seems to be that line. Whereas in the Marvel comics, because their stable is with a bunch of different film studios, they seem to sort of, there's Marvel movie studios and then there's like, oh, Fox, you got Fantastic Four. We're canceling that comic. We don't care. Like, we just don't care anymore.
But at the same time, we can't cancel X-Men.
No.
Crap.
You're like, God damn it.
Which Fox owns, which interestingly brings us to our next point.
Yeah.
There have been some rumours swirling, which have now been canned, but there were talks between Disney and Fox of Fox selling on.
Yeah, selling on their cinema and TV. But it brought in, I think, where they were talking about it, like, fans started frothing immediately, going, oh my God, could they have been X-Men and Fantastic Four and Avengers? And
it didn't help that Ryan Reynolds was like, what's going to happen to Deadpool?
And all that sort of stuff. But It's a monopoly. like Disney owns everything you love.
It's a bit scary.
It's freaking scary. And there was, like, I have to call out, like, Trav Johnson from Filmic in Oz, like, one of the journos that I saw writing about it, going, hey, guys, like, let's stop frothing for 5 seconds. This is called a monopoly. If they own Fox, they not only own, like, they own almost some of the biggest franchises ever. They instantly own the entire stable of films. They own Fox Searchlight. They own, like, they own the X-Men. They own the Fantastic Four again. They own Deadpool. Like, pretty much, it becomes, like, obviously it would be great for Marvel fans, I guess, maybe. Mm. More characters in a movie and more dilution of a story. Like, just cool your jets.
So much continuity.
Oh, I haven't got the patience for it. I'd just be like, nah, I'm out.
At the beginning, it was so cool because you'd never seen it before. Now it's just like, I can't be bothered watching that show. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I'm going to read a recap. I'm out. So hashtag millennials. But yeah, so it's really interesting, but it has been canned because it's just too much.
Thank goodness.
They still might apportion bits off. We haven't heard too much.
They did it with Spider-Man, and that's worked a treat.
Yeah.
And so, like, and, you know, with the X-Men, it would be interesting to see finally Wolverine join the Avengers.
That would get Hugh Jackman out of retirement.
I know, but I don't think it's happening.
No, I don't think it's going to happen either.
They're just going to keep it. And they have so many plans for X-Men on TV at the moment.
A lot of stuff happening.
So I think they're kind of safe. And, I mean, come on, Disney got Star Wars and now it's just like this whole juggernaut.
I know. And that leads us perfectly into our next story. This is the best news of the week.
Really
and
but I don't know, is it? Because we haven't even seen it yet.
No, this is the best news of the week. It's and this is like, Rian Johnson is making The Last Jedi. We've been talking about it all year. We've been saying, forget about all your stupid prequels and your stories, your spin-offs. Rian Johnson's Last Jedi is going to be badass. It's actually going to be the one that lives up to Empire Strikes Back, not Rogue One, you weirdos. Get away from me. Don't at me. No, don't at me. I'm done with Rogue One. But what I would say to you is, if there's any indication, Disney is a studio that is relentless with the level of quality that they're willing to deliver for their fans. Other than J.J. Abrams, Rian Johnson has flown through effortlessly on The Last Jedi. They've kicked Lord and Miller off of Han Solo, brought in new filmmakers. Mm. Apparently, Dan Gilroy came in and shot half of Rogue One, you know, even more by inside source accounts. They've given Rian Johnson an entirely new Skywalker-free Star Wars trilogy to steer and create. Holy shimoly.
This is the thing. No one's even seen the final product and they've already seen it.
So there are screenings and there are whispers and Disney are so happy and are like frothing.
Okay.
to use a word very apt for our recent Taika Waititi and Chris Hemsworth coverage, frothing over The Last Jedi, that they're like, that if that's not a show of confidence, they know what he's delivered. Mm-hmm. Like, it's in the can. And so it's just an incredible show of confidence in a singular filmmaker to go, we're going to give you a trilogy of films to write and direct if he wants. He's definitely writing and directing the first one.
Yep.
But it looks as though he may steer the other two if he doesn't directly go into
it. So JJ.
Yeah, perhaps. But I think the other big one is that he will have writing control. So there's some really cool ideas floating around that, you know, he'll write and, you know, get some other amazing filmmakers in there to sort of steer the ship with directing.
Blake, thoughts on a Taika Waititi Star Wars film?
Oh, man. It would just give him one. Give him, like, the Boba Fett one where all the characters have got New Zealand accents, and it would just be like Korg the movie, but with Boba Fett.
Whew. Is that a bit too much?
100%. But you know what? They might actually give him one. You never know.
After the success of Thor,
yeah,
highest grossing Marvel film so far this year.
Yeah, massive. And extremely well received critically, killing the game. Taika's killing it. Like, and I think
I just love how we somewhat always manage to bring in Taika with TV.
Have to. We haven't seen each other in person since I wore the pineapples on Halloween.
That's true.
Strong. That was
death strong.
I know. I wish I could wear that outfit every day, but I should. You should. God damn it.
How dare you not, Blake?
I know.
Blake, Thank you for another gaggle of geeks.
Oh, you're welcome always. So
so good to have you back in the studio.
Oh, it's so good to be back, guys. Have a happy Saturday. And, yeah, go and start burning your Louis DVDs.
Bye.
Bye.